are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled, Ready for a Surprise, is the third message in the series, Changed, based on the Gospel of John, and is taught by Mike Cranford. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Changed. Are you changed? We've been doing a series in the Gospel of John and looking at the people in the Gospel of John and how God has changed them, how their encounter with Jesus has changed them. If you've been here a while, you know my story. I was a kid that came to Christ later in life. I ended up going to Biola University and Talbot Seminary, and then I became a pastor, and that's what I'm doing here. So I'm a Biola boy and a Talbot boy, and I actually got a chance to be a professor there for a while. As a matter of fact, Stephanie over here was one of my students a while ago, and I gave her an A, so she decided to come and play here at the church. A good friend of mine that you guys have met, Mike and I went to seminary together, and he knew my wife before we, you know, he was friends with the Harwood family and so forth long before I met Cinda, and he is now in our church. Him and Dalapo, by the way, are heading up our men's ministry. And Mike, after I finished with school, Mike went and got his PhD at USC in theology. As a matter of fact, they paid him to do it, which I keep saying that because I think it's amazing. Mike is a really good friend of mine. And I've asked him to come this morning and to teach a very special passage. John chapter 4. It's the famous woman at the well passage. And so Professor Cranford is going to come and teach that text. Would you guys welcome my friend Mike?
Oh, it's good to be back up here. Have you ever had someone tell you about a movie that they think that you should see? And as they're telling you about the movie, like, and why they love it so much, they tell you how it ends. Have you had that happen? I have a brother who does this, and he's not the brother that's here today to listen to me. He's my other brother. But, wow, this movie was so amazing, and I couldn't believe it. At the end, when it turned out, he was dead the whole time. And you go, did you just tell me the ending of the movie? You know, if it's a good movie, I'd rather not know anything about it. I definitely don't want to know the end. I'd rather not know anything about the movie at all because I like a surprise. I love a great surprise. It's one of the best things for me in the world is a surprise. And I think it's because, see, I don't expect things to change. So when I get surprised, it's wonderful. I've gone through years of my life where I was just working every day, doing the thing that I thought I needed to do. Day in, day out, the thing that I thought would make me happy, waking up, making money, and nothing seemed to change in my life. I tried to figure out what I was doing wrong because I felt like I was missing something in my life. But nothing made sense. It just seemed like that was the way life was. I was caught up in my own plans and they failed, but I couldn't break out of it. Doing the same thing over and over, and I felt empty, but I didn't feel like I had an option. It's the same for almost all of us outside of Christ, really, in this culture that we live in. We live in a culture where we look for happiness in things around us. Our culture's caught up in this. We have a dream of personal happiness. And we think that the way that we get that dream met is by going after things or money or relationships. That if I just had this thing or if I was just with this person, then I'd be happy. I was Googling an actor. I was watching a movie, and I don't know if you do this now, but I Google people in movies that I'm interested in, and I was Googling this actor in the Hobbit movies, and he did these movies, these Disney pirate movies. I was Googling this guy, and I read that his 3-year marriage to a model was just coming to an end. And there's nothing, you know, explained about this, and I, of course, don't know this guy personally. But as I was thinking about this and reading it, I thought how difficult it would be to be a person that every time you're hurting or was burdened in your marriage there was some other attractive person that was around you, that liked you, that you could go to if you were feeling empty. I imagine it'd be easy to think if you were this fellow. If I just was with this other person, then I'd be happy. Or you're constantly surrounded with people that like you, that think you're wonderful because they've seen you in a movie and they think that's who you are, but it's not who you are. They don't know you at all. But you know how it feels to have someone know you and like you when you're not feeling good. So I'm reading about this actor and I'm thinking he's struggling with the same things we all do. And he wants to be happy. But the difference is he's got options that we don't even have. He can do all kinds of things to make himself happy and choose that for himself. But if we pursue our lives that way and feel like, gosh, if I just had this or that, then I'd be happy. But even he isn't happy. How could I ever possibly be happy? Maybe you're in this spot as we're talking about this today. Or maybe there's someone you know that's in this spot, someone that's close to you, thinking, my plans didn't turn out the way I was thinking. I'm caught in a rut. I'm disappointed by life. I'm caught up in my habits. I'm just getting by right now, but I'm hurting. I'm empty. I don't feel like my life means anything. I've tried everything. Nothing's worked. I expected so much more from life than what I'm getting right now. And I want more. If this is how you feel, God has a surprise for you. You're ready for a surprise. It's not what you're expecting. What he has is a drink of the living water. It's the thing you've always wanted. And you didn't know, or you didn't know where to go. It's what you've given up hoping for, maybe in your life. This peace and joy and fulfillment that he has for you. The gift that you didn't even know about. But when you receive it, you realize it's the thing you've always needed. What he's offering you is a change. This woman in John chapter 4 is ready for a change. And so we're going to come to this text. And I'm hoping I'm going to give you a fresh look at this passage, because I know you're probably familiar with this passage. You've looked at it many times. So let me read from you. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. So Jesus, he's traveling from Jerusalem to Samaria. He's traveling north. He takes the direct route through Samaria. It's the way, quickest way to go. Comes to stop at a well in a village in the heat of the day to rest, and his disciples leave him alone because they're going into town to get food for their journey. That's the setting. That he should travel that way and stop here isn't surprising. So the central figure here in the Gospel of John is Jesus. But in verse 7, we meet a woman who comes to the well in the middle of the day to draw water. So let's focus on the woman. It's an unusual time to be at the well in the middle of the day. Normally, you would expect her to go when it's cooler in the evening. The well is a considerable walk from her village. There's a lot of hypothesis about why she would be there in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, in the desert at this time. It could be she chose this time to avoid other women because of the way people in her village feel about her. That's an explanation that would explain why she's there. Could be she had just, for whatever reason, not gone to the well the night before and she needed water. Could be a number of reasons why she's there at this time. But there's something about the time, something surprising that we can all agree on. When she goes to get water, of all the people in the world that are standing by this well, for her to meet, the Lord Jesus is there waiting. That's the surprise. Of any day and any particular moment that Jesus would be there ready to speak with her. And what I want you to picture is, as we read this, a moment in your life where Jesus is ready to speak to you and change your life. That's what I want you to picture. And maybe this is that moment today as we're talking. So verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So you can see she's surprised. This man speaking to her was surprising that she finds a man here in the middle of the day standing at this well in the heat of the day. And she happens to be there alone and he's alone. That's a surprising situation. There's no situation normally where a rabbi is by himself talking to a woman. He's in a cultural framework where a man and his wife would normally not have a conversation in a public location in front of other people. And this man is talking to her in public. Then on top of that, you have a Jew speaking to a Samaritan. These are people that don't get along. They have a long-time enmity. There's some ritual purity issues here that normally keep Jews from speaking and associating with Samaritans. But there's something here that's even more surprising that I want you to see about this woman, that causes her to be surprised that this man asked her for a drink. And that is that a Jew would ask a Samaritan woman for a drink from the vessel that she herself would use to drink from, her water pot. That he would ask to put his lips to the same water jar that she drinks from is surprising. A Jew wouldn't do that. Nothing about this situation is what she's expecting. She wants to know, how do you ask me? I mean, what's going on? Why are you talking to me? Why do you want to drink from my jar? It's a big surprise. And the reason she's surprised is because she thinks she knows who she's talking to, right? She thinks she knows who this man is, but she's wrong. But I want to tell you a secret about this woman. She's ready for a surprise. She needs a surprise. She's lonely. She's broken. She's failed in her life. She yearns for more and has no idea how to obtain it. She's used up all her resources. She won't have many friends because of the decisions she's made, which we'll see here in a moment. She's stuck with the consequences of her decisions. And everybody will have their conclusions about this woman in this culture. Negative, really. It's the complete opposite of the situation that you find in John 3, which Frank spoke about last week with Nicodemus, where Nicodemus is worried about losing status by talking to Jesus. Here, it's Jesus that loses by talking to this woman. That a rabbi would have this conversation with her. She's startled because she's being honored here. That this man would talk to her. She's not asking him why he asks her for water because she's upset. She's asking him because she doesn't understand why he would honor her this way by speaking to her because she doesn't matter. That's the way she's looking at her life. But if she knew who she was speaking to, she would understand. So she asks him a question out of surprise because she thinks she knows him. Jewish rabbi. Obviously will dislike Samaritans. Obviously will think very little of women. Who would look down on her if he knew what she'd done. She's thinking, if you knew what I'd done, you'd never talk to me. She's not expecting who Jesus was, the gift he brought, or the future he had planned for her. But you know something? There's no better spot to be in than being ready for a surprise and being ready for a change. If we're content with our lives, if we're okay with the stuff that's going on, if I'm okay with the decisions I'm making and what I've got out of life, nothing's going to change in my life. But if you want him to change everything, he'll change it for you. And she's ready for a change. Are you ready? If Jesus were planning to meet with you today, after church, would you be ready to listen to him? What could change in your life if he asked you? Think about that. What could change? He is asking you. The habits you're caught in, the things that you're doing to meet your needs that are not what he wants for you, your fears, your pain, the sins that you know you're struggling with, he's asking you to change. What could change if you'd let him? If he met you today as a total surprise, could he change you? Or would you just say, you know, I'm good with the way my life is? Is that what you'd say to him? Because that's how we live. So Jesus is here at this well in Samaria, in the middle of the day, to change this woman forever. That's why he's here. So he answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So he asks her indirectly, What Jew am I that would ask you for a drink? You want to know? I'm not who you think I am. That's what he's telling her. If you knew who I was and the gift of God, you'd ask me for a drink of the living water. I'm the person you've been searching for your whole life, he's telling her. Not these men you're looking for. I'm the person who has a destiny for you, who has a life for you, and it's not the life you've settled for. This is what he's going to tell her. This is why he's here. But she still doesn't know him. So verse 11. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Okay, so she says the word sir here. Do you notice this? She says sir. It's a term of respect. She's not being sarcastic here. She's being honored by this man who's talking to her. She's confused because he says he's going to give her living water and he has nothing to draw water with. And this is a 100-foot deep well. And so he must be talking about some other water. But you'd have to be greater than Jacob because Jacob, it took a lot for him to dig this 100-foot deep well. And this man says he's going to get her living water. So when she asks, are you greater? The way she's saying this in Greek, the construction is, you're not greater than Jacob, are you? That's literally the way she says it. It anticipates a no. Because she thinks that's not possible, that he could be greater. So she's ready to be surprised because he is greater. And that's not what she's expecting to hear. But it's why Jesus is here. Verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift of the Spirit. It's not just something that meets a need. It's something that changes your life. It's not something you have to keep going back to every time you feel empty. It's a whole new identity. It's a filling inside of you that changes everything. It's not like the choices around us in the world that we keep picking every time we're hurting. It's a work of God that gives us joy and peace and power if we will let him control our lives and stop calling our own shots. It's a life that goes on forever, Jesus says. And nothing can stop that. The disappointments of your life can't stop it. Death can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. So she says to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So now you understand in this culture, this is an ancient Near Eastern culture, in the desert with the heat, you don't turn down a request to give someone something to drink. It doesn't even matter if they're your enemy. You would never refuse. So when Jesus asks her, though she's a Jew, she would never refuse to give him a drink of water. Now she asked Jesus for a drink of his living water. Jesus cannot refuse her. He is about to give her that drink, people. right now. The table is turned. She's the traveler who's weary. And Jesus is going to give her a drink. And everything which follows after this in the story is a response to her need and her request, though she doesn't completely understand what she's asking for at this moment. But he's not going to give it to her yet because she doesn't know who he is yet. And the gift won't mean anything until she knows who he is. So Jesus, again, answers her question, and he's answering it with another statement to explain so that she'll know him, because she needs to know who she's speaking to accept his gift. The living water, transforming work of the Holy Spirit, is the drink that this woman desperately needs. She's so empty. And for whatever reason she came to this well, a broken and discouraged person, the last thing she expected was that God would meet her and answer her deepest need. It's what he wants to offer her, and it's what he wants to offer all of us. What he wants to offer is a new hope to this lady. She needed a new hope. She was trapped in her sin and the disappointment of her failed dreams, and she had no options left. Verse 16. So this is how he explains this to her. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." So you understand, when she says these words, "I have no husband," she thinks she's expressing the reason why she's so empty. "I don't have a husband." Jesus has led her to reveal this because this is the issue with this woman and her need. It's not, though, that she has no husband that causes her to be empty the way she thinks. The reason she's feeling empty is because she's had five husbands. That's Jesus' revelation. She's empty because she keeps doing the same thing over and over in her life, and it doesn't work. It just makes her more and more empty, because this is not God's choice for her to go from one relationship to another. We're not empty and disappointed in our lives because we don't have more of the things that we're going after. We're empty and disappointed because we keep stuffing things into the space inside of us that we think needs to be filled by the stuff in our lives. People, money, things, experiences. And we've done everything to meet that need, to make ourselves happy, and it leaves us emptier. Jesus is not exposing her sin here to embarrass her. That's not the point. He's exposing her sin so that she will drink of the water that he offers her. The thing that she needs, so that she'll understand that there's a solution. That everything can change for her if she'll just drink. But she can't receive the gift he offers, because she still doesn't know who she's talking to. So she says, verse 19, "Sir, I can see that you're a prophet." So she's getting closer, trying to picture someone who speaks for God, obviously, because this man knows about her life. So she changes the subject, verse 20. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." So she intentionally changes the subject, and I don't think she's changing it just because she doesn't want to talk about this topic anymore, though that's possible. I think she's changing it to the age-old debate, the difference between her and Jesus. Where do we worship? The Samaritans worship here on Gerizim. Jews worship in Jerusalem. What's the answer? And I think she wants to know, if this man knows about my life, maybe he can tell me my greater purpose. Where do I meet God? Because I've been worshiping here on this mountain and I'm empty. Am I in the wrong place? Are the Jews right? So you can see her confusion. She's fixated on physical solutions, relationships. Where do I go? Where do I meet God? She wants a plan for happiness. Like, she's tried all these things. She wants her destiny. Where do I meet the Lord? How do I know Him? Where do I go that I can be happy and know that I'm right with Him? So Jesus answers her question. And it's not a solution about one place over another place, people. It doesn't matter where you go. It's not about our plans. It's about His purpose. Our plans are about places and things. God's purpose is about who we are. So she found a new purpose. In place of her own plans, she's free to worship in spirit and in truth to become the kind of person that the Father was seeking. So here's His answer. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. So a time is coming and has now come, He's telling her. It is now. It is this moment, Jesus is telling her. I am speaking to you. It is the work of God within your life. It is the living water. It's not about where you go. It's about who you are. True worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. It's not about whether you're a Samaritan. It's not about whether you're a woman. It's not about whether you're a person who has failures. Whether you're Jewish and in Jerusalem or a Samaritan right here on this mountain, that's not what the Father's seeking. He doesn't care about any of those things. This is what Jesus is telling her. What the Father is seeking are people who have given their hearts to Him in truth, who have yielded to the Holy Spirit and have taken a drink of the living water and have been changed. And that change will look like submitting their lives to Him and following Him. It's exactly what she's been looking for. She's not defined by her people, her gender, or her failures. What this man has shown her in this meeting, how he's treated her, the honor he's brought to her, is what she's been looking for. To be known and accepted and lifted up. So she now accepts who he is. She's ready to receive the gift and to share it with others. Verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you. See, she's ready to receive this now. I am he. Now you have the disciples walking on the scene. I'm going to skip these verses, but they're surprised and they don't understand. But we'll come back to this in a moment. But let's move down to verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Well, she knows he's the Messiah, but these people don't know yet. And then Jesus has a discourse with his disciples. And then let's move down to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know this man really is the Savior of the world. So the living water isn't just for the woman at the well. It's for all of these people. That's why Jesus is here. God has a surprise for all of us who are tired of our failure and disappointment and thirst for a drink of the living water. So the part I skipped here, it's the disciples, they're confused. They're looking at the people as Samaritans. And Jesus is changing their perspective by telling them, look at these people as a harvest. These are not people to not associate with. Jesus is seeing these people as empty people who need to know the truth. They could only see Samaritans, the disciples. Jesus never saw a Samaritan. He never saw a woman that social customs dictated he couldn't speak with. He didn't see that. He saw these people as they were. They were empty and longing to know him. These were people whose dreams and plans had failed. He saw people who wanted to worship him, not in one place or another, but in the place where he dwelled in their hearts, because they invited him in. And he's calling his disciples to see these people the same way, because this is the mission that they have before them. Because this is how God sees us, people, as empty and broken people. Jesus is not the savior of the woman at the well, and he's not the savior of the Samaritans. He's the savior of the world, of everyone whose plans have failed, who's wasted years of their life out trying to be happy on their own, who are tired of things not working out, who are tired of being defeated and caught up in sin. Everyone who thirsts for a drink of the living water, this is their savior. And that's me. I'm that guy. A time is coming, Jesus says, and it's now, to drink of the living water, when the true worshipers will worship him in the spirit and in truth. It's not just this woman at the well at this moment. It's your life right now. Jesus speaking to you. God wants people who will worship him in the spirit and in truth. The same today as on that day. He's seeking people like this, people like you, who will want to know him and submit to his plans, who are done trying to find their own happiness, out doing things in the world, meeting their own needs, who are ready to walk away from their failures and their habits and their sins. If you don't know Christ, and I'm explaining something to you that you've never heard before, Jesus is offering you this morning a drink of the living water, and he'll not refuse you. If you're here today and you're thinking, wow, I want the joy and the peace and the power that comes by the Holy Spirit, and I've lost my way, Jesus is offering a new work of the Spirit in your life today also. And he has more for all of us than we've been experiencing in our lives. He has abundant life. It is more fulfilling than anything you can get out there. Anything that the world offers. All we have to do is set aside our plans and our agenda and choose him and be the kind of people that the Father seeks. It's that simple. He knows you. Everything you've ever done. And he's waiting for you, offering you a change. Let me pray. If you're sitting out there and you're coming to understand what Jesus offers you and you've never chosen him before, all you have to do is tell him, I want a drink of the living water. I want the life that goes on forever. I want to know you and trust you with my life. You only have to ask right now as we're praying. And if you're out there and you are struggling with something in your life and you want to submit this to God and you want to experience more of the life that he has for you, you just have to open your hands right now as we pray. Jesus, we give to you our hopes and dreams, our failures, our self-will, our sin, and we ask for a work of your Spirit in our lives, welling up to eternal life. Lord Jesus, take our mistakes, take our disappointments, and give us more of yourself. Surprise us, Lord, with your joy and your power in our lives. Give us more than we ever dreamed of. Take all our mistakes, Lord. Guide our paths in a way which will serve you so that we can know you. In your name. Amen.
Can we thank Mike for that message this morning? Was that woman changed? What do you think? Was her life changed? Talk about her autobiography, having a new chapter by meeting this man at a well. I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I've been encouraging people in our church to look at your life. Has your life been changed by your encounter with Jesus? And what is your story? People in our growth groups, by the way, if you're here today and you'd love to discuss this message and you're not in a growth group, you just tell us, hey man, I'd love to get in a group sometime this week and talk about this message. If you're not in one, let us know and we'll get you in one this week. We've been encouraging people, and in these groups, people have been sharing about cards. I'm calling them like cardboard testimonies. Kind of like the person that you drive by and you get off the freeway and they're sitting there with a card, and the card is telling you about their life. Hey, I'm homeless. I'm out of work. I'm hurting. Will you help me? And as I've thought about this, you know, we all have cards like this before we met the Lord. This is who I was. In heaven, all of us could have cardboard testimonies. As we were talking about this, my brother Steve, who plays softball and is now stretching real well, he was telling us, he said, Pastor Frank, I relate to the woman at the well. And we've actually filmed his testimony. I want you to check it out. So watch this.
Hi, my name is Steve Mendoza. I was born in Newport Beach, California. I lived in Irvine my entire life. I was discipled by people here at Woodbridge Community Church. And it was as simple as inviting me to Christmas parties or to Bible studies. And, you know, after that, my life has definitely changed. Wells that I was drinking from before, they weren't quenching any thirst and they weren't quenching, you know, any hunger. Drug and alcohol abuse, you know, a daily struggle with that. Now with drinking from the well of the gospel, you can drink from it any season in your life, going through struggle, going through joy, going through pain. What I've learned and what I'm continuing to live through these days now is that the gospel is for everybody. Jesus gave us the ultimate example of sharing the gospel, whether it be to other Christians, other believers, or to non-believers, or to even if you're a Christian and you happen to be abusing and using drugs or alcohol to an extent where it's self-destructive, the gospel is always, it's there for you. And for me, to be on the receiving end of that, looking back, it's that free gift is, again, it's very encouraging. As one of my goals as a Christian would be to reproduce that into others.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
We're talking about changed lives. Hey, what would your cardboard testimony say on it? Just something to think about. It's funny. When I talk with Steve, when you hang out with Steve and you look into his eyes, there's a joy in him. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding inside my brother. I just love his spirit and how God has changed him. You know, it's amazing how God can touch people. As we were thinking about this sermon, we were thinking about if that woman at the well could sing a song in heaven or lead a choir in heaven about a song, we think she would sing a song that goes something like this. And this song is called Come Just As You Are. This woman came to Jesus just as she was to have an encounter with Christ. So this is a cool song. Why don't you sing this one with us? An amen. Do I hear more than one amen?
Amen?
Can you guys remember the time when you first heard that call in your life? Can you remember the day when you first had that encounter with Jesus? I can close my eyes and think back to a spring up at College Briefing up at Forest Home where I went out on a rock and sat down after just being inundated reading the Gospels and checking out Jesus, kind of trying to be the skeptic and coming to a place of surrender. And I remember that day when I prayed. And it's so fresh in my mind. Do you guys have a moment like that? And I remember the next morning when I woke up at that camp, I felt there was something weird in me. Probably, I used to say it was the first time I've never really felt alone in my life. I don't know how to. It was different. And I've tried now to figure out what happened to me. It's been like about 20-some years, 25 years later. Jesus says it was living water that came in me. You know, the Bible says, after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit that's been promised to you. Biblically, the way you receive the Holy Spirit is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the hearing about Jesus and the cross and what he's done for you, and you hear all this, it's the gospel, and you receive it in your life, and you just can't hear it, you just can't look at it and say, yeah, I get it, you receive it. The Bible says, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed. That Holy Spirit comes inside of you, living water comes into you. And the scriptures are clear. We keep drinking from water. We keep drinking from the living water. The well that dwells within us. This woman at the well has disappeared from history. What happened with her five ex-husbands and the dude she was staying with then? Did the next morning she need to go out and get water again? Yes, her life went on. She probably had struggles and hurts and heartaches, but I'll tell you what, she's in heaven today, and I bet there was a smile on her face all the rest of her life, a joy inside of her, a peace, a patience, a kindness, a goodness, a faithfulness because of Jesus. Changed. Changed. She just came. I'm going to ask you all just to stand with me, and I want you just to raise your hands. And may this be a symbol of an extension of our lives. Lord, we come just as we are this morning. We are here. Some of us, God, are here. Many of us have heard long ago this, and we come this morning because we want to drink from your wells again and again and again. We pray, Lord God, for a filling of your Holy Spirit in our lives today. Lord, we need courage and power and strength to continue to be the witnesses that you've called us to be for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to be refreshed and renewed. That we just don't walk this Christian life with our brains, but with our hearts, with the power of the Holy Spirit helping us to be new. Lord, if there is somebody here today that has never come to Christ and they want to today, I pray, Lord, that you would help reach them wherever faith they have, that they would cry out to you, I'm coming just like I am. I want you, God, to fill me this morning. Jesus, I receive what you've done on the cross for my sin, my shame, my guilt. I pray that you would wash my sins away by the blood of the cross. And Jesus, I ask today that you would give me a first sip of this living water as you would send your Holy Spirit into my life. God, I pray this by faith. And I pray it with a great desperation. For all the wells that I have drunk from, Lord, have left me thirsty. I need living water. Not just in this life, but the one beyond the grave. So, Lord, we come this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your invitation that we even get to come. Thank you, God, that you would open the doors of heaven for us through your Son. Lord, you're awesome. And you're amazing. We praise you this morning in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.